to work and be wise, or to be lazy and be a fool, is a choice that we have to make. In the book of Proverbs, we're called to reflect upon the wisdom of work as we look at God's blueprint for living.
It's time now for the program Proverbs, a Blueprint for Living, with Father Mitch Pacwa. And now, Father Pacwa.
Shalom Aleichem. The peace of God be with you. I'm Father Mitchell Pacwa, a Jesuit priest and a professor at Loyola University in Chicago, where I teach Scripture, especially Old Testament. And in this series, we're examining the book of Proverbs as a blueprint for living. Now, the Proverbs give us reflection on life. The sages who wrote them will take a look at experience, reflect on it, and give us some wisdom and insight into how we should live. Sometimes they'll tell us what to do, but not too often. Mostly they're going to have us reflect on the way things are, and then we have to make our own conclusions. Today we'd like to talk about the issues of laziness or sloth versus industry and hard work and its results. If you'd open up with me to chapter 6 of the book of Proverbs, beginning with verses 6 down to verse 11, we'll take a look at the first example of attacking the sluggard. Now, sluggard is in Hebrew, atzel, and I like to translate it better in more modern English as lazy bum. Now, let's take a look at that. Go to the ant, you lazy bum. Now, they like to go to the ant because the ant is a good example of how to understand hard work. And they're going to go to the ant exactly the same way other sages from other countries would look at animals as examples for us, because we have different characteristics similar to some of the animals. That's why Aesop did his fables using animals to talk about human qualities. So go to the ant, you sluggard, and see her ways, and become wise. Because she has no ruler, no overseer, and no chief, and yet she provides her bread in the summer, and she gathers food in the harvest. So here the ant is a prime example of good, solid industry. Even though it was apparent to them that, from the way they could tell, ants did not have any kind of leadership. We would say now that we know there's a queen ant, and we know that there is a structured society. But the point that he's making is still key. This little ant, which is not real smart, it's just an insect, still is able to organize itself economically to take care of itself throughout the whole year. And so should the sluggard, the lazy bum. And so then it goes into a question in verse 9. How long are you going to sleep, you lazy bum? When will you get a rise out of your sleep? Now, this is a problem that some people still have, that they sleep and they sleep and they sleep, especially during the daytime, when they should be out doing their work. I'm not talking about people who work at night. I'm talking about people who sleep at night and sleep in the day. What's one of the results of too much sleep? I know people who tell me that the more they sleep, the more sluggish they get, the more sluggish they feel, and that there's real benefit to waking up and snapping out of it in order to become industrious. Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. That's in verse 10, and that's sort of the answer of the lazy bum or the slug. He said, let me sleep just a little bit more. It's like somebody who keeps hitting the snooze alarm and tapping it for half hour, an hour and a half, and keeps on going back to sleep. And the more they do that, the more sluggish they're going to become. In verse 11, the sage gives his wisdom and says, now, thus will be your poverty will come upon you like a highwayman, and your want or your need like an armed man. Now, a man with a sword. Now, what's that mean? That poverty, need, want, lack of the necessities of life is going to come upon the lazy bum, just like when you're walking down the road and you get mugged. All of a sudden, you don't plan on getting mugged. You don't work it into your schedule. It happens all of a sudden. So will it happen to the lazy bum. Therefore, the sage is saying, don't be a natseu, that is, a lazy bum. But that's not all that there is about the slothful and the lazy. There's lots of wonderful, wonderful images to understand it. Let's take a look at chapter 12, verse 27 in the book of Proverbs. Here it says, the slothful man, the lazy bum, will not hunt his prey, but the precious substance of humans is to be diligent. Now, here he's saying that someone who's lazy doesn't go hunting and doesn't find his prey. And as a matter of fact, another way to translate it is that he does not roast what he took in hunting. Why doesn't he roast what he took in hunting? Because he never went out. Now, there are some people who use hunting as a way to relax because it gets them out of their other work and it gets them to a change of pace that's totally different, kind of slows them down and gives them time to reflect. You know, I've gone hunting myself, and you know, sometimes you just sit there being absolutely quiet, waiting for the prey to come by, and as you do so, it gives you time to think and be still. And that's not bad. But this person is so lazy, they won't even go out and try hunting. Now, the ancient Israelites, you know, used to like to hunt gazelle. Archaeologists have found burnt gazelle bones, you know, in different fire pits because they liked it. But this lazy bum won't even go out and hunt, yet alone try to raise his own flocks of sheep and goats and such. So, you know, this person is not going to roast any meat because they haven't bothered to go out and do the hunting that they need. Another one of my favorite proverbs is in chapter 26, verse 14, where it says, like a door turning on its hinges, so is a lazy bum on his bed. You know how a door is? It just opens and shuts. And that's the way a lazy bum is in bed. They're up and down, hit the alarm, snooze alarm, go back again, hit it again, keep going back to sleep, making themselves more and more sluggish, not getting anything done. I know people who don't take the time to pray because they say, well, I just took an extra few minutes to snooze. And we can't do that. We have to set priorities. I myself know that I need to make sure that I have at least a minimum of 1 hour to pray before I get started with the day, and I usually need a little more. I need it. But that means I have to get out of bed, not hit the snooze alarm, and get out to make sure that I'm in chapel in time to be before the Lord. And then, it's amazing how much more work I can get done during the day. And as a matter of fact, that's a real clue for somebody who is going to be energetic and working hard, that you need to take a solidly good amount of time to pray. If you take that time to pray, then you'll be able to spend more time at work and become much more productive. Well, we're going to come back in just a moment and take a look at some more proverbs that deal with sloth and also with hard work. So please stay with us. Welcome back. We're taking a look at the Proverbs that talk about slothfulness or being a lazy bum versus industry. And the Proverbs have a lot of things, a lot of observations about the lazy bum. Let's take a look at some more of them. If you open up to chapter 26, verse 15, we see where it says, the lazy bum buries his hand in the dish, but it wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. Now, this is, you know, a proverb of the epitome of lazy, and this boy is lazy. I mean, if you just bring your hand down to this, say, oh, it's too much work. I don't want to bring my hand up to my mouth. Somebody do it for me. Feed me. Now, that's okay to have somebody feed you if you're sick or if you're an infant. But if you're not, then you're really in trouble. And this lazy bum really needs to change his whole attitude. That you have to have some gumption. Have to care enough about yourself to want to feed yourself. And that's the problem with this type of lazy bum. Doesn't even care enough about his own self to be able to feed himself. Now that's bad. You know, even Dad with Bumstead goes down and makes his own sandwiches and puts it to his mouth. Let's take a look at another sluggard, another lazy bum. Chapter 22, verse 13, which says, the lazy bum says, there's a lion outside on the street. I'll be killed out there. Now, this guy is really, really digging for an excuse not to go to work. In this excuse, what he says is that there's lions outside. Now, there weren't lions out on the street. Now, that's a crazy excuse. That's like saying, I can't go to downtown Chicago. There must be an elephant running loose. Well, there aren't. And you can't be looking for excuses. Some lazy bums will look for any kind of reason not to go to work. I might get hurt if I get a job. That's right, you might get hurt if you get a job. But you might have a tornado hit you in bed, too. You never know. You got to take risks. And you got to step out and make risks. And even if there were lions up there, if you're a lazy bum, should go and get some friends and get the lion, chase him out of town or kill him. But this is meant to be humorous sarcasm and making fun of the guy. Another proverb is in chapter 15, verse 19, which says, the way of the lazy is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the diligent is well built. Now, what are they saying? In Israel, when they made highways, they would be embanked highways. And that's what they call a misalot. That these misalots would be these highways that they would pile up dirt and they put a road on top of it. And it would be a straight road. And you have to work a lot to get that straight road. But then when you do, you have an easy access back and forth. And that's oftentimes the way life is. In order to make some things in life simpler, you have to do a good bit of work at the beginning. You have to do what we call the groundwork, like you would have to do in building up a road. That's the groundwork. But some people are lazy bums, and they don't want to do the groundwork. And instead, the way of the lazy is going to be like a hedge. Instead of an uplifted road, it's like a hedge. Now, what is a hedge? You can't walk on top of a hedge. It's got all these thorns, and all you do is get hurt. So this is one of the problems that you have with the lazy bum. He thinks that it's going to be simpler if he doesn't do the groundwork, but what happens? He ends up walking on top of a hedge, that is, getting his feet all cut up, cannot make progress because he won't do the groundwork, and that's dumb. Now, the next proverb I want to deal with has to do with, you know, something that I want to show you. I have here some apple cider vinegar. I'm going to pour some into a glass, and this will give you an idea of this proverb. I want to just point this out to you. It says, well, let me try this first. Ooh, that is nasty tasting stuff. But that fits the proverb perfectly. Like vinegar to the teeth, or like smoke in the eyes, so is the lazy bum to those who send him. Now, have you ever tried to get a lazy bum to do work for you? It's just like this vinegar on your teeth. It tastes nasty. As you can see my face, you can imagine what it tastes like. Well, that's the way it is with the lazy bum. What's the reflection there? First of all, don't be a lazy bum when it comes to doing a job, especially if you're working for somebody else. Take responsibility. But then on the other hand, if you are somebody who is hiring, if you are trying to get people to work for you, don't hire lazy bums, because hiring them is going to be like drinking this vinegar, which is actually good for your stomach, but it sure doesn't taste very good. The lazy bum, unfortunately, is not good for anything, and it's not going to help you at all. So don't hire them. Now, there are some other proverbs that also deal with the issue of the lazy bum versus the person who works real hard. So, for instance, in chapter 21, verse 25, it says, the desire of the lazy bum kills him because his hands refuse to labor. Now, here, the lazy bum has a desire that's going to kill him. What's his desire? His desire is to not work. His desire is to be lazy. And because of that, he's going to die. He won't take care and do the things that he needs to do for himself. Whereas, what we see for the person who is industrious is something quite different. The hand of the diligent, the hand of those who work, will rule. And they'll be in control. The people who work hard are going to be set in positions of responsibility. That's in chapter 12, verse 24. But the second part of that verse says, but the lazy bum, is going to serve those who are diligent. Now, that means that you have to make a basic decision in life. Are you going to be somebody who is diligent and hardworking, or are you going to be like the lazy bum? If you're going to be hardworking, they'll eventually put you in charge. And they'll have you doing the things and telling other people how to do things. Because you also learn the skills that come with hard work. And you can direct other people and help other people. If you are lazy, then you'll never be in that kind of position. You'll never have the satisfaction that comes from the value of saying, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm doing. And I can give direction to other people. I know myself that I find it a real joy to be able to direct my students. And not just because I like to be in charge, I like to impart what I know. I like to teach my students Hebrew. I like to see them learn how to read the text and be able to interpret the scripture better. And then they can go on their own, and if they're hard-working students, they might end up teaching Hebrew someday themselves or using it when they preach, if they're going to be priests, and so on. Another verse that deals with those who are industrious versus the lazy is in chapter 21, verse 5, where it says, the methods of the industrious will certainly lead to gain, but everybody who is hasty will surely go to want. In other words, if you are industrious and if you work hard, you're going to see good results coming from your labor and you're going to see benefits accrue to you. But if you're hasty, if you are just running around like a chicken with no head, if you run around on our busybody, then you're not going to get any kind of benefit. All that will happen to you is that in your being a busybody, you'll end up wanting your own needs because you're not acting and you're not working with wisdom. So what it's saying is that you have to work hard and you also have to have wisdom about your work and common sense with it as well. We're going to be back in just a moment with a very special guest, so please stay with us. Family, we have with us today a very special guest, a real good friend of ours, namely Mother Angelica. You know, Mother, you don't know how often I've wanted to do that and reverse the role and introduce
well,
you.
Well, wonderful. I'm glad.
And the reason that I'd like you on this show to talk about the topic of hard work versus sloth is because when I've described you to my friends, I said, well, she's just like the little red hen who went to the convent.
Yeah.
But in this case, like the little red hen who went around, who will help me, sow my wheat? Who will help me gather it up? Who will help me make it into bread? And he said, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. They only wanted to come around when she made the bread already done. Then they'd help her eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're just like the little red hen. You went around asking for help about building a TV network. And you said, well, if you're not going to help me, I'll just do it myself. Is that fairly much summarize how you did this?
Yeah, I think the reason is that I feel that the people in the church and the church itself has lost the theology of risk.
Mm-hmm.
And in labor, the theology of risk is so necessary because mm-hmm. there is where something inside of you has to want to work
yes.
for a purpose, for a goal.
But, that relates to one of the Proverbs that I wanted to discuss. In chapter 16, verse 26 of Proverbs, it says, a worker's appetite or desire, his nefesh, it means throat, and everything that goes down the throat is what you desire. And it says, a worker's appetite works for him, and his mouth, that is his desire to eat, urges him on.
Oh, that's true today especially, I think,
yeah.
Because most people today work only to eat, sleep, or recreation,
right.
Leisure, pleasure.
Right. Right.
They want 30-hour week, and but we're getting to a place where work is not something beautiful in itself or fulfilling, or neither does it have a dignity. And that's what we've mm-hmm. lost. And mm-hmm. when I only work to eat mm-hmm. or work to play, or work for drugs or work for any addiction even, mm-hmm. they go that far,
sure,
then work itself loses the dignity that God gave it.
Right.
And as a result, there's no fruit born because nothing inside the heart ever grows. There's no fruit inside the person that makes that person better. In fact, work can make it worse because they look at the rich and say, the capitalists, let's get rid of them.
Yeah.
Or they look at each other and they begin to get jealous of who has what. And so without that dignity of work, without the reality that God made me to work,
mm-hmm.
Then I also lose the Saturday rest, or the Sunday rest, because if I haven't the dignity of work and the necessity of work for the glory of God, for my family, you and I, for the good of the church and people in the church, for God's honor and glory, then I'm going to work just for myself. So if I can get more done or work or open my store on Sunday, it's irrelevant that it's Sunday, you see?
Sure.
So we have two misconceptions, I think, today of work. Number one, the person who becomes a workaholic for the sake of work, but work becomes the addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So they leave their family, they leave their loved ones, and this kind of thing. But then you get the sloth that also works. See, you can be slothful and still work.
Mm-hmm.
Because your intention is not good, and you work entirely for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
See, I knew a man one time. He worked very hard for a year. Then he would take off until he spent all his money. Then he'd work another year. And then he would stop until he spent all his money. So you see, work there was a self-fulfilling entity. It had no basis or beauty in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Just lost it. He was something he had to do in order to satisfy whatever he wanted to do when he was off for a year.
Now, let me ask you this. What is your appetite to work for the network? What is it that drives you on and motivates you to work hard? Because I know you work hard. You're flying here and there. You're lecturing around different places. And you work hard around this place doing the shows and helping to organize things. What motivates you? What's your appetite?
I think the thing that motivates me is I see people start. You know that I'm a product of a single-parent family.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel for these people. I feel for all the people, the youngsters that have gone astray, the drug addicts, the alcoholics. I feel for the elderly who seem to be in a ways today.
Yeah.
I feel for the children who don't have grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
If they have grandparents, they're in a nursing home or maybe 800 miles away. So there's a whole element of society missing.
Mm-hmm.
There's 10 years almost out of our youth life. They're mm-hmm. 6 and they're 16. And I know that the church has a solution. God has a solution for all these problems we've gotten into.
Yeah.
And the answer is Jesus. And I think the fact that I've been through so much myself in my youth,
mm-hmm.
At least gives me some credibility when I say, hey, I know it can be hard. I know it can be rough. I know. But there is a Jesus to go to. He knows you. He loves you. He created you. And never for a moment has he ceased to love you. I think if somebody would have told me that when I was a kid, they wouldn't have maybe brought my parents together or even put food on the table. But it would have given me interior food
mm-hmm.
that would have allowed me to bear my burden mm-hmm. with more joy.
Now, there are some in the world who might consider you elderly.
Oh, I do too.
I wasn't sure. I didn't want to. That's eggshells.
I know. I'm 68.
Yeah, you're 68 years old, and yet you just keep on going. You just see that certainly now is not a time to slack off, and now is the time for you to keep on.
Well, I feel that. They say Pope Leo the 13th did his best work at 90.
Wow.
See, and I think as long as I have the strength.
Mm-hmm.
And God gives me the eighth gift of the Holy Spirit, guts, which is not correct theologically, but it's good for me.
It makes sense.
Makes sense to me. As long as the Lord gives me that, then I feel I must do all I can to work for that kingdom.
Well, let me give you one more proverb from chapter 14, verse 23. In all toil, there is a benefit or a profit, an advantage. But mere talk tends only to lead to want. It'll lead you to emptiness. It'll lead you to lack.
Well, Now, they do a lot of that today.
Yeah.
You hear people having committees upon committees upon committees, and everybody's talking, and everybody says, well, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, we need to be sure it's going to be success.
Right.
We need to be sure this is going to be right.
We might be sure we're not going to get sued.
Well, yeah, we got to be sure, sure, sure. As a result, we have such a need for assurance that we're paralyzed. We don't begin anything.
Mm-hmm.
See, and the whole essence of how God worked with His apostles in the gospel. I send you out without script or shoes. No,
mm-hmm.
no
mm-hmm.
coppers in your purses. That we're back where we started, you know.
Yeah.
Because we lost the theology of risk.
Right.
We have lost within our hearts the desire to do and not just to talk.
Right. And yet at the same time, what has happened? You and I have both end up making talk into work. We talk for a living.
Right.
And yet even that is our labor. Well, Mother,
it's labor, because yeah. sometimes you just want to disappear somewhere and rest or read right. or something, and somebody comes to the door, somebody comes to the phone.
Whatever. Well, we have to break. Thank you so much for being on the
You're
show,
welcome.
Mother. And God bless you all. Let me know, but I'm not saying it.